This is a HeadGum Podcast.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, Cheryl, we've done it again, as we say every week.
We've covered a lot of stuff.
Oh.
We have, though. We did. Yeah. We covered a lot of stuff.
We always do.
No, sometimes we actually don't. But this time we're covering murder. Uh-huh. Makeovers.
Yeah. But should we say that gives away?
Okay, forget I said that.
Yeah.
Now I'm spilling the beans.
Yeah. So we just had to edit out a moment where Cheryl spilled the beans about the whole movie.
Yeah, that's true.
And you yell at me. I don't know what's wrong with you.
I'm really caffeinated.
Okay.
And charged up about this documentary because I find it pretty fascinating. Shall we just get right to it?
Yes, please.
Ladies and jerks, welcome to Murder on Middle Beach, Part 1.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Fry furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hello, Tig.
Hello, Cheryl Hines.
Tig Notaro. See, I've got it now.
Cheryl Hines.
Hines. Is the proper way to pronounce it.
Stephanie called herself the other day, Stephanie Alien. Because the spelling of her last name, A-L-L-Y-N-N-E.
Does she ever get that? Or no, she wants to get it?
I thought it was really good.
I like it.
I was like, I'm into it.
I like it.
Stephanie Alien.
Stephanie Alien, that's not weird. Speaking of names, oh my gosh. Okay, we have a lot to talk about today.
Right, but speaking of names, what?
Well, I'm going to table it until we get there.
Oh, okay. Weren't we supposed to, isn't this like our check-in?
Yeah, this is just the check-in. That's why I'm
You've
saying.
You've checked into rehab.
I was saying rehab sounds so relaxing and nice. I mean,
I'm sure people that have been to rehab
are like, you are a
foolish person.
Idiot.
Yeah, you're a fool.
A fool. A damn fool.
A damn fool.
No, I'm sure it's a lot of work and it's painful because it's about growth. But
right. But that's not where you are.
No, I don't want to grow and I don't want to be in pain. But
I'm also saying you're not in rehab.
Oh, and I'm also not. I'm just in a hotel that I checked into. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like I checked into something much more interesting than just a hotel.
You're on vacation.
I'm on staycation.
Is it just a getaway time?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wait, yes. Are you being serious?
I'm being serious. Well, yeah.
You just went and took some girl time by yourself?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm finding this whole situation, the whole pandemic, all of it is, I'm exhausted by it, and I'm fatigued. You know, they're saying like people have fatigue from it.
Yes.
And I feel like I've been at such a high stress level for 2 years that I just needed to look at something different and feel different.
And have some alone time.
Yeah, have some alone time. Watch this documentary by myself, and that was fun and exciting. And then I woke up and saw a little weird bird outside.
But I thought you were in the middle of production.
I'm about to go into production. So that's the other thing, too. I'm locking down by myself. So I have to be, you know, alone. I don't have to be, but I'm choosing to be the most careful I can be. Work is very, very important to me.
Right.
And I want to make sure everybody's as healthy and safe as possible. So that's what I do.
Well, that's good. We're some people think we're overly careful at times because, you know, we have kids that aren't old enough to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And my father-in-law lives with us. And so when I travel, I come and stay at the office until I get tested and stuff before I go back home.
It's a different time right now. Yeah. And everybody has their own needs and whatever works for them, that's what they need to do. And it's a complicated time, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you're taking time to yourself. Were we talking about that recently, how Stephanie and I were saying that?
No.
Oh, okay, because we just had this conversation. Like, it's so great to prioritize a family vacation every year. And then it's so good to prioritize a couple vacation.
Yes.
But it's also really good to just prioritize your own, just to get away from everyone.
Just, so you can
take
just
a breath.
Clear your head for 1 minute.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. And it's really hard to do, especially when you're a parent.
Yes.
It's really, really hard to do. But it's helpful. Nothing bad will come from it.
No. And in fact, this is going to air after Stephanie's birthday. Her birthday is September 19th. And I'll tell you what I'm getting her.
Oh, good.
I'm getting her a long weekend at her favorite place to go by herself.
Oh, my gosh. She's going to be so happy.
She's going to be so happy.
I mean, you know you're old when you're so excited to be alone. Like, that sounds like heaven. That's the best gift you can give someone. But I get it. It's like, that's amazing. It's like, life is hard. Life is hard sometimes, and we're all going through it, and it's, she will love that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to do a check-in with her after and see how it's going.
And I'm probably going to get her a little tiny wedding cake, which is what I always get her for her birthday.
That's so cute. That's so cute. Because she loves wedding cakes or just because?
She does. She loves wedding cakes. And so, so I'm getting her a little tiny wedding cake.
Oh, God. You're a good wife. You're a good partner.
Yeah.
Hey, are you ready to talk about our documentary?
I am. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. By the way, so we're just talking about part one and part two. I had such a hard time stopping and not watching part three.
Well, here's the thing.
Oh, no. Don't tell me you watched it.
Listen, you need to settle.
I'm settling.
Down. You're supposed to be relaxing.
No, I just had so much coffee.
And I don't mean the brunt coffee. Of your caffeine. By the way, in the background, I see a soccer ball on a shelf.
Soccer
what
ball.
Sort of hotel up on that shelf?
Oh, no, that's a fancy vase.
Oh, okay. I was like, what are you doing?
No, that's not. No, there's no sign of sports here.
Okay. Stephanie and I watched the first episode. She's very picky about what documentaries she watches with me.
Yeah.
She loves all of the murder.
Stephanie loves a good murder.
She loves a good murder. So we watched the first one last night. I apparently fell asleep the last 15 minutes, and she filled me in.
This is the problem. Okay, go ahead. I'm not going to scold you.
I can't watch late at night. And to be fair, it was only 9:45 when it finished. But
the first hour, it's a slow rollout.
It doesn't matter what's
doesn't
rolling
matter.
Out. I'm asleep.
You're asleep. 9:45.
Yeah. So she woke me up by yelling, "You were asleep." Because she was going over these different things that happened. I was like, what? And she said, does that not sound familiar? And I was like, no. And she goes, you fell asleep. Oh, my gosh. And so she filled me in. And then I couldn't watch the second one last night. So I couldn't go with her to take the kids to school this morning. So I woke up and immediately watched the second one.
I watched Murder.
So I didn't have time to watch anything more than the first two.
Oh, well, that's good.
That's okay. A long, boring story to tell you.
It was fascinating. But to tell me that you didn't even have a choice.
Yeah.
I had a choice, but I used self-control. Okay. Today we are talking about Murder on Middle Beach. And it's a four-part documentary directed by Madison Hamburg. It follows Madison's quest to find answers in the unsolved 2010 murder of his mother, Barbara Hamburg, by interviewing family members and reviewing evidence.
Murder Beach. There's no way this happened on Murder Beach.
Murder on Murder Beach. I mean,
great title.
Murder on Middle Beach was released on HBO in 2020. Okay, can we just start with the names in this documentary? Which, I mean, it took me a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's called Murder on Middle Beach, and it's directed by a guy named Madison.
Yeah.
But
the town
is Madison? So the town is Madison. So sometimes they're talking about Madison, and then sometimes they're talking about Madison. So that I had to, like, get that clear in my head. And then at some point...
I don't think I even cleared that until just
now. Well,
you
were asleep.
I slept through the whole thing.
And
but
then
I loved it. I'm enjoying. I'm sad that there were murder.
Of course,
there was a murder, but I think the filmmaking is very,
very interesting,
very well done.
And so, the other thing that threw me for a loop a few times was,
wait, is this the segment that we've never named called "Get the Complaints Out"?
Yes, I think we can establish it today. The other thing was, so the victim was Barbara Hamburg. And then at times they would talk to her sister, whose name is Conway Beach.
Mm-hmm. You were thinking Conway Twitty.
Well, no. I was like, Beach. Okay. Are they saying beach like it's a beach? And then
I know.
The grandfather's name was Sandy Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all takes place on Middle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
In Madison, by Madison. It just was a lot for me to take.
Well, first of all, in the beginning of the movie, I don't think I realized it was from his point of view. So when it was said things like out of the gate, like my dad or my cousin or my sister, I was like, who? And that might just be, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't understand the filmmaker was the person
that's was important, and it seemed like that's on you.
I'm not doubting it. I'm saying I missed that.
It took a minute
for me to realize why the filmmaker was saying my dad.
Yeah, was so casual about all the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it is a lot to take in because, and there are a lot of characters.
Yeah.
I mean, real people. I shouldn't call them characters. Although they are characters. And so it's a lot. It's interesting. And it's
a lot of beaches.
There are a lot of beaches and a lot of Madisons.
Yeah.
And Sandy Beach was my favorite.
Yeah.
A guy named Sandy Beach? Okay. The point is, there's a bigger picture here. So here's what happened. There was a woman named Barbara Hamburg who was sadly and tragically, brutally murdered on her front lawn in Madison, Connecticut in 2010. And she was discovered by her daughter, Allie Hamburg, and her sister, Conway Beach. Mm-hmm. So they never figured out who did it.
Right.
So this guy, Madison, her son was 18 at the time, right? Mm-hmm. And 3 years later, he decides to start making a documentary because he wants to find out more about his mother's life and the mystery behind the murder.
Well, yeah, he was talking about how you idolize your parents growing right. up, and then because his mother died before he became an adult, really, he didn't get to meet her as an adult.
I know.
As an adult person.
Yeah.
He being the adult person.
Yeah, which I thought was really touching. And it was interesting for him to point that out because I think, you know, a lot of people experience that, but you don't even realize it. That you wake up one day and you're 25 and you look at your parents and you're like, oh, you guys are people.
You're not perfect.
Well, sometimes we learn before we're 25 that our parents aren't perfect. But you're not perfect. And, oh, here's why. And, here's what
I
understand.
But he was so close to his mother that it sounds like he might have thought she was perfect.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I got red flags from 6 months old.
Oh, yeah. I didn't need somebody pointing it out.
My mother was waving a red flag in my face my whole childhood. I barely saw her.
It's time for dinner.
Can you move the flag, please?
I'm trying to get to school on time.
Move the flag down.
So this guy Madison is, you really take a shine to him, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's smart.
He's cute. He's compassionate. He's sensitive. And then also woven in is the most adorable baby ever born. Footage of the most adorable baby.
Oh, when
baby
he was
ever.
A little baby.
Yes. Yes.
I was thinking about that too.
I was thinking,
by the way, I don't think there's one. I don't even know if there's a photo of when I was a baby, much less like cute songs and like pajamas. I don't have any of that.
Nobody took a picture of you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
My mother took pictures, but she was in a really terrible car accident. And she broke like every bone in her body and she could barely lift her arm. And so when she took pictures of me and my brother, it was a whole ordeal because she could barely lift the camera. And so it was all, we always made fun of her because it was just like a shadow going by. She'd always miss us because she couldn't do it fast enough. So it would be like our foot. It'd be our foot or a shadow of us.
No.
And she would laugh and she'd tell us like stories of that foot, that day where the foot was running by.
This is us at Disney World. That's
your foot. Yeah, that's your foot.
And that's a trash can.
But, you know, my documentary on Netflix has some video footage and some photos that we got from our neighbors across the street. Because they had a movie camera and they happen to have some footage of me playing soccer and stuff like that when I was little.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
And my brother. Yeah.
Wow.
But it doesn't have the audio. I was always bummed about that. I was curious to hear what my annoying voice sounded
like.
Your little
tiny Tig voice was?
My tiny monotone.
Pass the ball.
No, it'd be pass the ball.
Pass the ball. I'm open.
I'm open.
Okay, so he starts doing this documentary, right?
Pass the ball.
pass the ball. I'm open. So Barbara marries this guy, Jeffrey Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that name?
Her dream fella.
Yeah. He was a millionaire.
Yeah.
He was a CEO of Southern Electric. And they became parents. They had two kids.
Technically, it's you had two kids. You became parents. You said you...
Okay, well, we'll fix it in editing.
Well, this is a documentary film podcast.
Yes, and we take it very seriously.
Yes. People tune in.
They very much care about our grammar.
Can I just tell you, I was walking down the street and this woman came up to me and told me she loved my podcast. And I said, oh, which one? And she, Don't Ask Tig. And I said, oh, okay, I have two podcasts, so I wasn't sure. She said, oh, what's your other podcast? And I said, it's a documentary film podcast. She goes, oh my gosh,
She goes, I'll have to listen to it. What is it called? She said, I'm a documentary film producer.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh.
No, please don't.
Oh, no.
Please don't.
I said, let me backtrack here. I said, it's utter nonsense.
Please don't listen.
I
like they were begging people not to listen.
Yeah, please.
No, and if you're still, in the industry. No, she's going to tune in.
Well,
we're still climbing.
We're still climbing.
Okay. So when we come back, mm-hmm. we're going to tell you what happened with Jeffrey, the husband, mm-hmm. because things get off to a really mysterious, strange start, don't you think?
Yeah. Let's give our listeners a break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS. Or play online via Facebook games.
Okay, Tig.
Cheryl.
We're back.
We sure are.
So we find out pretty early on that Jeffrey, the dad, mm-hmm. was fired for shady deals overseas.
Yeah.
Which we don't even know what that means or what that was as of now. I mean, I don't know. Maybe in 3 and 4 we find out.
Yeah.
And then he's
only seen 1 and 2.
I've only seen 1 and 2. We're only doing 1 and 2 today.
I only slept through half of 1 and then saw all of 2.
By the way, I like that that's how you start your day with a murder documentary.
Well, not typically.
Not typically, but today.
But today, yes.
So Jeffrey sues his company for defamation mm-hmm. of character, which makes it sound like the company
wronged him. Yeah.
Something on him. He uh-huh. had to take the fall.
Yeah.
And then he said, I'm not going down alone.
Right.
And then sues.
And wins.
But then Barbara files for divorce because in the documentary, it sounded like Jeffrey got real full of himself and started traveling and doing, we don't know what he was doing. Right?
Traveling.
He was traveling.
Well. Look at Mr. Fancy Pants.
Mr. Traveling. Fancy Pants. It's one thing to need a weekend to yourself. It's another thing to never come home for a year. They're very yeah. different. So she files for divorce. And then Jeffrey refuses to pay child support.
Yeah, that's the crazy part.
It's hard to understand exactly what.
It's like you kind of understand the fallout in a marriage and the
right.
relationship there,
right.
but you're withholding from your children.
Yeah, that
seems that
hard
like
to
that.
Understand. Mm-hmm. But also at this time in the documentary, we find out like there are secrets. Like
why are you saying it like that?
Because that's how it sounded in the thing. It's like
everyone can hear you. It's like you're whispering or something.
Well, because even saying the word secret, it feels like don't say it out loud because
you can talk at a normal level though, Cheryl.
Well, this is how I say the word secret.
Secrets.
It's secret. So now Madison is finding out because his family members are saying, look, your mom had lots of secrets.
Yeah.
She had lots of secrets. That's sort of weird. If somebody told me that about my mom, I'd be like, I would be so intrigued and curious and I would need to know what they were talking about immediately.
Would you make a documentary?
I'm probably too lazy. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I mean, to make a documentary, you have to have so much what's the
time and money.
I am baffled by how people pay their rent when they're making a documentary.
I know. Like, I get, I mean, when people made my documentary, they got grants and
grants.
You know.
Yeah. Something
and
to
then
keep
a
them.
Production company came on and helped. You know, financiers and yeah.
It's tough. It takes a lot of discipline, self-discipline.
Uh-huh.
I mean, which Madison, this filmmaker, had, because when he went anywhere, he had the cameras rolling, he had audio tape rolling. See, yeah. I wouldn't have the patience, I don't think. I would be like, just tell me.
Oh, tell me my mom's secrets.
Yeah, I need to know my mom's secrets now. But he started asking, you know, people. Now he's getting into secrets. And a lot of people thought that Jeffrey, the ex-husband, killed the mom.
Did you Barbara. Think he did?
Well, they certainly set it up that way. But it's like, well, episode one, if he did it, then where are we going from here? Did you think that?
Well, yeah. But then I was also like, out of the gate, we're just going to go straight to the guilty
ex-husband.
One. But when they said that she had secrets, what did you right away think?
Well, of course you think, I mean, one would think of affairs and at some point, did you think that she was having a relationship with a lady?
I kind of did, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of set that up for a second.
Well, and yeah, it's, what, because of the message?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I was like, oh, hello, sister.
Oh, hello, one of Tig's sisters. There are a lot of Barbaras in this, too.
Four
Barbaras.
Yeah.
But you know what I never really put together before? That the name Barbie is short
no.
for Barbara.
Cheryl, are you serious?
I never made that connection before this. Did you know that?
Yes. I've been alive for 50 years. How many more years alive do you need to be?
I guess I never, they seem like so different. Those names are so different. Barbie and Barbara. Barbie's so carefree and like.
Well, Babs doesn't sound like Barbara and.
Yeah, but Babs sounds like old school. And well, Barbara sounds old school. And then Barbie is like, hey, girl, hey.
Well, how about this? Yeah. Let me blow your mind.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Barbie Streisand.
See?
What if she had gone by that?
That's the thing. Or Barbie Bush. It's a game changer.
Or
it's
Babs like... Bush.
Maybe somebody does call her Babs.
Babs Bush.
Hey, Babs, hey.
Apologies. Barbie is going to be a few minutes late to stage as she is finishing her final pork taco from mechanical meat.
Me made in a lab with Babs Bush.
What?
She's with Babs Bush.
Oh, okay. It's the Barbs and Babs show. Barbie, Babs, and
Babs. Barbie's Babs and Beads. Remember that song? Bobbles,
no.
Bangs, Bangles, and Beads. Anyway.
It sounds extraordinarily catchy.
It's from a musical, but I can't tell you what it's from. So Madison starts making this documentary, and then he wants to interview his dad. His dad says no, refuses to speak about it. Don't ask me about it. I can't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. And then...
Which makes him look even more guilty.
I know.
Yeah. Because why wouldn't you want to talk about something and help your child find
Figure
some...
It out.
Yeah. Find the killer. Get some peace of mind here.
And then everybody sort of starts pointing their finger at other people. So Jeffrey, the dad, is like, well, you might want to look at your mom's sisters because they might have had something to do with it.
Right. Who in your gut do you feel like did this?
Well, are we allowed to say?
Well, who knows? We haven't
seen. We don't know the answer.
Yeah, so why not?
Well, they certainly make it seem like Conway Beach, Barbara's sister. Who do you think?
I went really,
oh,
really off to just try and, you know, come up with something that nobody would guess.
Okay, what do you think?
The sister who was with Conway.
The daughter?
Yeah.
Well, it is interesting because she's nowhere in these two episodes, right? She's right. not on camera or anything.
Right.
Tig, that's insane.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, I turned to Stephanie and I said, what if it's the sister?
No.
I said, she's not really on the documentary.
No.
And also, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm trying to have the answer that nobody would think because I'm thinking the mother was going to go after the dad. You know what I mean?
Mm.
The mother left the dad, and it was like the day of the trial. So I was thinking
that's
if
important.
The daughter was like emotionally distraught about that and defending her dad.
Yeah, you're right, because this happened on the day that Barbara and Jeffrey were supposed to go to court
mm-hmm.
because Barbara was suing him. He was going to need to pay $500,000 to Barbara for, you know, whatever that looks like, the divorce and back child support.
Yeah.
And she was murdered before she even got to court.
Mm-hmm.
And she was brutally murdered. So this was mm-hmm. like, she was, I don't know, was she stabbed or hit with something?
I don't know.
But it was repeatedly she was mm-hmm. hit with something. So
yeah.
It wasn't just, not that, I mean, I don't want to say it wasn't just somebody shooting her because that's equally as terrible, but it's somebody was really
upset.
In a, yes, rage.
Yeah.
But what I thought was kind of weird
mm-hmm.
when he was talking to Conway Beach, mm-hmm. the sister. So he's talking to his aunt about
apparently.
Well, you don't have to. Sounded very, you're scolding.
Well, no, I just noticed I kept thinking, like, what is that? Is she holding a flute? Like, I just kept noticing she was holding something when she was being interviewed. And I was thinking, when is she going to play the flute?
I wish she would have just started playing the flute in the middle of her interview.
I'm glad she didn't. And then I saw the vape. And
you were like, oh, things make sense.
She vapes. She doesn't seem like the right age to be vaping. I think that surprised me.
Mm, mm.
Vaping seems much younger.
Right. This seems like. But
yeah.
One thing that I want to say
mm-hmm.
is at some point, Madison was talking to Conway, his aunt, about who could have done it. Mm-hmm. And she said, it could have been any of us.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, God forbid if something happened to Dr. Becky Hines, my sister,
mm-hmm.
and somebody said, who do you think did it? I would never include my, it's like, could have been anybody. Could have been me. Could have been those guys. It's like,
right.
What? That's so weird to me. Is that weird?
Yeah, for sure.
Could have been any of us.
Right.
This is a strange thing to say.
Adding yourself into that.
Into the mix. Why would you? Okay. We're going to take another quick little break. Then we're going to come back and talk about episode 2.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, Tig.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hey. So episode 2, we start to find out some of the secrets.
Yeah.
Okay. So we find out that Barbara was struggling with alcoholism. She got a DUI. She started AA. She was really running out of money.
Mm-hmm. How is it that the courts couldn't get, is it because she left him that she couldn't get money? I don't know how these things work.
Well, I don't know either. I mean, it's, people are quite crafty when it comes to money. Uh-huh. So because they set it up with Jeffrey that he made all this money, but then where is the money? And they talk about, is there an offshore account? Do we know where the money is? So it's possible that he did something with the money that she didn't have access to. That's what it seems like, right?
Oh, okay.
So that's why she has to sue him, because he's not giving it to her. And clearly it's not an account that she can get into.
Okay.
So she's getting a little desperate for money.
Mm-hmm.
And she's introduced to this woman named Donna Bello.
Yep.
So Jill, let's see, who is Jill? Jill Platt is Barbara's aunt. Okay, so her aunt, Jill, introduces her to this woman, Donna Bello.
Mm-hmm.
And Donna is running this project.
Yeah.
Called Gifting Tables.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of that?
I had not heard of gifting tables, but I definitely have heard of pyramid schemes. But wait, you want to hear, why don't we listen to, let's just hear an explanation of the gifting tables.
Okay.
They called it a sisterhood. It was beautiful. It was like you walk in, everybody was like greeted you and they were kind and they were supportive.
Plan for refreshments and entertainment.
With the gifting tables, you joined with a $5,000 gift to a woman. That put you in a bottom row position, which we had called appetizers. And then you were asked to find one or two people, preferably two, to follow you. And then you, as an appetizer, moved up to the next level, which we called the soup and salad level. You already have your two people behind you. Your job is done. You're just there to
soup
support
and salad.
The people that are behind you to make them successful. Now you move up to the next entree position, and you needed to have eight people in the appetizer position.
Uh-huh.
Then you're in the position to actually receive the eight gifts.
Five times eight, $40,000. Dessert is receiving. It's when you get your just desserts.
Okay. Okay, so this is a pyramid scheme. Yeah.
Can I just tell you what's so insane?
Yes.
And this is on topic, off topic.
Okay.
You know, talking about the pandemic and what everyone's going through and just things starting to weigh on you. And
yeah.
I was really starting to feel the weight of everything in a way that I hadn't before about a week ago.
Yes.
And
same.
So, okay. I couldn't sleep one night and like really couldn't sleep. And I was trying to figure out what I could do to help myself or what maybe the root of my, the added issues.
Stress.
Mm. Yeah. I was looking at and reading the news the way I think people are obsessed with social media. That's what I was doing. I was mm-hmm. following the news to that degree.
Yeah.
I was getting sucked in by the news, which it's good to be informed.
Yes.
But I was also getting sucked in by climate change. Again, very much good to be informed.
Yes.
I was in turn getting sucked in by trying to find a better place to live and where to go. So I was looking at Zillow. I was looking at other places to move. You know, not even mentioning like the effects of social media, everything,
right.
But I could really tie it into the news. So there's like news, social media, Zillow, all this stuff. And then I woke up the next day and I went, you know what? I'm getting off of all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I deleted my news apps.
Mm-hmm.
I deleted Zillow. I only have gone on to social media to promote a show and then I'm off. And I felt so much better because I listened to an NPR app. This has to do with the pyramid scheme.
Okay.
I listened to the news once or twice a day mm-hmm. on an NPR podcast, and it's mm-hmm. a 5-minute update. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to be present in my life where I'm like, okay, it's good to know what's going on in the world, but I don't need to know what everyone is doing. And I don't need to know what the whole world is doing, excuse me, every 5 minutes. I don't need the news. Right. And I don't need to be finding a new place to live every second. Right. So I started to feel a lot better and I've been sleeping through the night. And then I was like, what do I want to do? I want to connect with people. What do I want to do? So I have come up with this idea and I want to implement it. And I want to encourage other people that might be feeling this way to look at where they might be draining their energy and what I'm planning on doing. And putting it out there is possibly going to make me continue to be active, which I've been putting this together, is getting a group of people together that are like-minded, that haven't been feeling great, that want to connect with people, and I want to start gardening with them, okay? And that's connecting in a group and socializing and learning a new skill. And then have them, this is with the pyramid scheme part, have them bring somebody that's important to them to join the group. So it's not just people I know, but people they know. There's no money exchanged, but we're going to garden.
Just vegetables.
Just garden. And then with the food, make a meal together. Okay? Have a dinner party with the food we made. And not just eat it, but the leftover vegetables or food we made, give that to people that need the food. How do you feel about that?
I feel fantastic about this.
Okay.
I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
I mean, the only thing that I wonder about is where is the actual garden?
I think the garden is going to be at my office.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Once you start bringing, if they bring a friend and then they bring a friend, you have 40 people out in your garden.
No, it's not they bring a friend, they bring a friend. I'm going to have the start off
cap
point.
It.
Yeah, and then those people bring someone.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a book club, but with vegetables.
It is a book club with vegetables. So that's what I'm doing, is trying to get my hands dirty.
I think that's good.
And have community and be present in the moment. Because I have started sleeping this past week for the first time in a long time.
I need that.
Okay, and I just encourage you and everyone listening to look at what is sucking you away from your present moment.
Yes. I think that's really, I like it.
Okay. And so there's my pyramid scheme that I hope will not involve money and will be positive. And I hope people listening will. And I've come up with a name for it. It's called Quest.
Whoa. That sounds like
a Ponzi scheme.
It does.
But
it sounds
not.
Right. Okay.
The reason it's called Quest is because...
Yeah, it seems like it would be something earthier. Okay, go ahead.
People thrive in groups and in a tribe. And I was thinking about the group from the 90s called Tribe Called Quest. Have you heard of them?
Okay. No. But why not like peas in a pod or something?
Oh, that's good.
Oh, okay. Because that feels vegetable-y and garden-y. Quest feels like...
Like a church?
No, it feels like computer stuff. I know there's another word for it than other than computer stuff.
Well, listen.
Okay.
I this is my Ponzi scheme. Okay. It doesn't have to do with money, and it's about feeling better.
I like it. I like it a lot, and I would love to be a part of that. I hope you invite me, and I'll work on my radishes. Okay, but let me doubling back. For a second, the gifting table. So Barbara gets involved.
Ooh,
with
maybe we could call it the gifting table.
The gifting table. No, what is that called? The thing with the big horn that all the vegetables are in the fall.
What's cornucopia.
Yeah, cornucopia.
Nope,
you don't like that one? Okay.
Oh, call the whole thing cornucopia.
Yeah, cornucopia.
Okay.
Of maybe it needs something more.
How about cornucopia? And it'll be all comedic type people.
I really like cornucopia a lot.
I love that you're like no to Quest, but yes to cornucopia.
Well, cornucopia sounds like fun. Quest sounds like a lot of work.
Well, it is a lot of work. You have to dig yourself out of the hell that the world has become.
And plant something new.
Yes.
So Barbara gets involved with the gifting tables.
Please write in and let us know. Quest, if you Cornucopia, like, or Peas in a Pod.
So she gets involved with this this pyramid scheme. So these women get together at somebody's house. They're calling it a dinner party. They each bring $5,000, and then they give it to the person at the top of the pyramid. So that person gets $40,000 cash. They walk out with $40,000 cash that night.
Cold hard bones.
Cold hard cash. And I'm very familiar with this because I was part of it. I was part of a
cornucopia.
A pyramid scheme.
Tell me about it.
Have I not told you about this
before? It sounds vaguely familiar, okay. But sometimes I just don't listen to you.
Yeah, nobody does. So when I was about 30, I was here in LA. Things were not going well for me. I was a waitress. I was not getting any acting work. I was really down, very, very down.
Okay.
And the one thing that seemed to be exciting was the pyramid scheme that was going on in town.
And so, did you know it was a pyramid scheme?
Well, yeah. I think they call it a pyramid scheme.
They're just like,
yeah,
they come had join the pyramid scheme?
Yes. They would have a chart. They would give you a piece of paper. And they would, you know, they would have like a blank.
And you were like, where do I sign?
Yes. Well, first I watched the two guys that lived above me, in the apartment above me, they had gone through the pyramid a few times. So much so that they had to get
a wheelbarrow for all their cash.
They got a cash box at the bank because they didn't want to put it into an account because they didn't want people to know they had so much cash, but they didn't want it laying around. So they got bank box, cash box?
You know, a safe deposit box.
Yes, safe deposit box. But my sister would talk to Dr. Becky Hines all the time, and I was like, I'm just so down. I'm really down. The only thing exciting is this pyramid scheme, and if I only had $2,000 to join it, my life would be so much better. And she's like, Cheryl, please. I'm like, Becky, this is the answer. I could make $48,000 with this pyramid scheme. And she's like, Beck, Cheryl, you're making me crazy. And I don't know how she got my poor sister got
$2,000. $2,000. And she, Dr. Becky Hines,
she gave you the... She did. And by the way, she had zero money. I don't know how she came up with this money, but she thought that was the only thing that could... I was convinced that was the only thing that could bring me happiness and could help my situation. So, Becky, I don't know how she did it. She got $2,000.
Leave it to Dr. Becky Hines.
She's resourceful and she cares about me. And so I went to the pyramid scheme party. These parties were exciting. And just like in this documentary, everybody would dress up. It was like a nightclub. Although mine in real life was like, co-ed.
And you guys were all showing up knowing you were doing something illegal.
Yes! People had $2,000 in their pocket.
What was it called?
I only referred to it as the pyramid scheme party. It must have had another name.
But I love how nothing was like on the DL.
No, it wasn't. No. And there were charts.
Hey, you want to come to the
pyramid scheme party? Maybe we didn't call it scheme. I think it was just a pyramid party.
Oh, my God.
And people would dress up and you'd have drinks. And if it was if you were the first one in, you were at the bottom of the pyramid, you had to give $2,000 to the person at the top. So you would go up to that person sometime during the night and you'd give them an envelope full of money and you'd say, this is for you. Congratulations. And that person would get...
I didn't realize all of these years that you were a stupid person.
Well, I mean, listen, from where I was standing, you're watching your best friends come home with tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're like, okay, everybody knows what they're getting into.
You got to know when to hold them. When to fold them. When to walk away.
Yeah.
And know so, when to run. You and then, never so, count your Ponzi scheme money.
When you're sitting
at the gifting table.
The gifting table.
There'll be time enough.
But the problem, the hard part about a pyramid scheme is then once you get in, you have to then find people to come in and give their $2,000. I didn't know people with $2,000. And to this day, I have a friend.
Who's still in the Ponzi scheme?
I told him about it. And I said, look, it's risky. And if you probably shouldn't do it. He really wanted to do it. I was like, I don't know if this pyramid's going to make it all the way through. So I just don't know. And he's like, no, I really want to do it. And I would like to say I'm sorry for bringing you into that.
Have you made amends in person, or are you just hoping he's listening to this?
Yes, we laugh about it.
Oh, you do? But
we laugh about it.
How much money did he lose?
$2,000. As did Dr. Becky Hines.
Did you make any?
No, not a cent. It fell up. It stalled, as they say. Because you have to bring in other people.
And you didn't have friends.
I didn't have friends with money. I had plenty of friends, but no, you know, we're all like eating $1.99
ramen noodles.
Yeah, so nobody's got $2,000. I didn't even have it. My sister didn't have it, but she, listen, to this day, poor Becky. But by the way, Dr. Becky Hines, thank you for that. That was very sweet that you did it. You
it
knew
kind
that
of
you would
enabling,
never see.
Though.
No, she, listen, she gave it to me as a gift. She knew that that was never going to see the light of day. And I told her, if and when I make this money, I will definitely pay you back.
Have you paid her back?
No.
You never paid her back?
Well, I paid her back in love.
I would imagine you've come across an extra $2,000.
Well, I've never paid her back specifically for that, but maybe this is the year I should. Yeah. I mean, okay.
I'm happy to pay her back, and then you can pay me back.
I think she wouldn't take it. That's what I like to tell myself. I've offered to, and she's like, no.
Have you offered?
Yeah, I have.
Let me pay you back for the Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, and she's like, and she's like, please don't. It was bad enough that it all happened, and you don't need to pay me back. So anyway, Barbara gets involved with this pyramid scheme, and it's going well, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But this was for women only, and these women were having a ball. They were throwing fancy parties. They were giving each other money. And then Donna, who was like the top dog, I don't know what her title was, of the gifting tables.
The dessert princess.
The dessert. She was the one organizing it all.
Uh-huh.
And then at some point, Barbara started bringing in some of the ladies from AA, and she had her own group coming in, and she split up with Donna.
Yeah.
So that's what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Because there was a message that said...
We thought she headed off to Lesbo Town.
Yeah. Because she said, Donna and I have split.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't that.
Right.
So we're finding out that a lot of people were starting to... were very angry with Barbara.
Yeah.
Because these pyramid schemes are... It's difficult. $5,000 is a lot of money. It's hard for people to come up with $5,000 cash. So people are sort of having to beg, borrow, and steal this money. And then you turn it over to somebody. And then if you don't get paid, it's just a problem, right?
Yeah.
So you're finding out that all these people were angry with Barbara. And then Madison goes to the police because he called the police and said, hey, can I come in and talk to you for my documentary because I'm trying to get more
answers.
Hey, police, hey. And they said... no, we don't want to be in your documentary, but can you come in so we can ask you what you found out so far?
Yeah.
So he goes in and then he audio tapes it. And the police, they're like, what pyramid scheme?
Yeah.
And Madison's like, you don't
Did
know
you
about
not
the pyramid?
Do any research?
How do I know about the pyramid scheme? Yeah. And you don't know about the pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
So the police, you know, they're embracing Madison and they want to know what he knows. And then at some point, I guess Madison... Did you get that he finished college and then sort of returned back to the making of this documentary? Is that what you got?
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to say that's what happened.
Okay.
Because now time has passed. Now Madison's 25, mm-hmm. and he's still working on this documentary.
Yeah, you can definitely feel that time has passed, and he's so much more pulled together.
Yes.
So calm down.
Well, I don't want to foreshadow anything. Okay, but two quick things because we got to wrap it up.
Yeah.
The day before her murder, mm-hmm. Barbara and a friend see a man wearing a ski mask walking through Barbara's yard.
Eesh.
And this woman, Shelley, says that Barbara was a quote unquote dessert and set to receive a large sum of money.
It was all teeing up. People are angry. She's about to get her dessert.
Her cash, $40,000. She has a court date. So now everybody's looking into the murder. Now they're looking into the gifting suites. Suites? Gifting tables. And Jill Platt and Donna Bello are arrested for uh-huh. the gifting table pyramid scheme. And they're sentenced to 4 and 6 years in prison.
Yikes. You could have ended up in prison, Cheryl.
I could have ended up in prison. I hope the feds aren't listening right now. I mean, I didn't
they
invent
are.
It. And
I
didn't
don't
make
think
any
they
money
went after
it.
The people that invented it.
Oh, God. What if I retroactively end up in jail because of this dumb podcast? Because I
dumb
admitted
podcast?
It.
Dumb podcast? I'm sorry, dumb podcast.
Just admit it to
this
the world.
This podcast is, the world is listening.
But when Jill was released from prison, don't you think she looked great? Did you notice that? Like she went
easy
in.
Easy, Lesbo Baggins.
She was looking a little bedraggled and life had gotten her down. And then after a year in prison, she came out like, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey, prison's been good to me. I was like, wow, she really found herself in prison.
I bet she would have preferred to not have to find herself in there.
Not have the prison makeover.
Yeah, maybe just go to the mall.
Just a weekend.
And get, yeah.
A weekend.
Take a one of those weekend staycation by yourself.
Yeah.
In town.
Yeah.
At the
yeah.
local
that
motel.
That might be better. But so Madison is now struggling with the idea that maybe his mother was involved in criminal activities.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really learning a lot about his mom. And then, oh my gosh, at the end of episode 2, this was the best ending and it took everything I had. So Madison is interviewing Conway Beach,
yep.
the sister.
The vapor.
The vapor. And she said, I don't know, something happened and I just snapped. And that's the end of episode 2.
Okay, but is that really the best ending? Or do you
yes!
not just see through it of like, it's not like she's admitting that she like...
Well, she's admitting that something happened.
She could have just been like, I snapped and I yelled at her.
It's probably what it is, but I cannot wait.
Well, you're going to have to.
Well, as soon as this is over, I'm going to watch the other two. So next week we will be reviewing episode 3 and 4 of Murder
We don't
on...
review.
It'll be.
This is not a
I
review.
Review.
This is
and
not
then
a review.
You just chit chat about your feelings, but I get down to business and talk about the facts.
You're a regular PI, aren't you? You should be out there. You
I
know,
should be
just the facts, ma'am.
Okay, Tig. I think we should save our final thoughts for next week.
Okay.
But perhaps we should read some true fan mail. You want to hear that?
Yes, please.
Okay, Jenny W. writes, regarding citizen arrest, in college I worked at a large Midwestern family-run liquor store as a cashier, and it was fairly common for the owner to arrest shoplifters. Oh my God. This happened about once every month or two. When the shoplifter was spotted, the staff would start shouting, hey, and chase the shoplifter down.
Did I not say that in the podcast?
You did.
That it's essentially like saying, hey, yes. come here.
Hey. And they would chase the shoplifter down in the parking lot. Even the owner, who was constrained to a motorized scooter due to diabetes, would chase after them. This sounds like
a new
circus.
Series.
Meanwhile, the owner's wife would get handcuffs from the office. If caught, the shoplifter was handcuffed in the office until the cops came and took them away. You guys pretty much got it right. It is all just as crazy as it sounds.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
It feels like there could be a lawsuit with the
handcuffs. Somebody handcuffed me? How do they know for sure that you did it?
Right.
Unless they had... I would be furious
if somebody
handcuffed
me. I would
stick with the...
Hey, shoplifter.
Freeze until the police get here.
You're going to have to come back over here because I'm calling the police. Hold on one second. Let me go in and get my phone and... I need to, what is
you
the number?
Right,
you
sit down. Right,
no, you come back
move.
Over here.
Mm-mm.
And then they're just like, but I want to, no, sir.
No, sir, you broke the law and you know
and
it.
And you know it, and you sit down and you wait for the police to come.
You want to hear what Maggie S. writes?
Of course.
So I was listening to March of the Penguins episode, and I remembered when my husband and I first saw it, we were talking to his stepmother about it, and she remarked how amazing Morgan Freeman was, and wasn't it astounding how he spent a whole year in Antarctica? We looked at each other like, what? Then we realized she thought he followed the penguins around in Antarctica with a microphone narrating the movie.
Oh, my... Lord, I love how and whispering to not scare him away.
I just see Morgan Freeman with like his headset
on.
Yeah,
there
and
they
microphone.
Are. Swimming away
they
from the shark.
They march for 87 miles to get to their breeding ground. Oh my gosh.
People don't know
she must
how
have been
films
so disappointed.
Are made.
They really don't.
Goodbye, family. I'm going to...
Antarctica to narrate a film.
To follow penguins around and whisper into a microphone. Oh, you're right. I did forget my coat. Thank you.
Meanwhile, it's just Morgan Freeman in a studio in his pajamas.
Yeah.
And hot tea on the side.
Yes.
All right, Tig. Well, that was, listen, I am enjoying... I mean, I don't like that someone
it's
got murdered.
It's the filmmaking that's really
it's
good.
The filmmaking.
It's really
it's
good.
Intriguing. So next week, we'll finish this up. I'm dying to know what happens.
Should we do it again?
Let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl, True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kopasich and Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.